Yesterday, Ciara mentioned about how a log can get stuck on this bank or shore and subsequently not reach the ocean. In the context of the yogi, the practitioner, this bank means the six sense doors, such as eye, ear, and so on. If the yogi is attached to the sense doors, then it is just like being stuck on this side of this bank of the river or shore, and subsequently the yogi will not face nibbana, the yogi will not get liberated. In the other case, if the log gets stuck on the other side of the bank of the river or shore, then that log can also not reach its final destination, which is the ocean. In the context of the practicing yogi, this bank corresponds to the six senses, the sight, sound, and so on. If the yogi does not know them very well, but get attached, then it is like being stuck on the other side of the bank. And like the log not reaching the ocean, the yogi will not be able to reach nibbana and get liberated. So Ciaro wanted to tell you and explain how and what to make sure that you do not get stuck and you do not get attached to the six sense doors or the six senses themselves. To explain this in more detail, Ciaro talked about the sutta where Maluja Buddha, an old aging monk who is estimated to be at least 70 years old and probably more like 80 or 90. He said to Lord Buddha, "Bande, I am old, that is true, but I still want to listen to the Dhamma talk from you and learn how to practice Vipassana meditation. After I hear the instructions from you, I will try to go to a place where alone by myself, where it is peace and tranquil. And I will exert as much as possible to get knowledge. It is likely and it is possible that after hearing your Dhamma talk, and if I practice fervently, then I will get in some knowledge. I will likely to be your successor with the respect of Dhamma treasures. And if possible, I would like to get the real true treasures." And Ciaro mentioned in this context, they means the four megas, four phalas, and nibbana, the path, fruition, and liberation. So Ciaro says that it is so impressive and so delightful to hear such an old person trying to ask Lord Buddha and say that he will practice his best. That is because here also there are some old people, not that much old, but still practicing stuff. And the reason why they want to practice is that you have to understand the basic tenets of Vipassana meditation. And Lord Buddha tried to explain in details starting from the beginning, but he tries to make it into a question and answer session. That is a summary of yesterday's Dhamma talk. So Lord Buddha said to this Malabuja monk to give his view, give his voice, and to say what he understands about what Lord Buddha says. So Lord Buddha told him that he can answer as he wishes and as he understood. And so Lord Buddha says about the first one. He says that there are two kinds of sights. The first kind of sight is called the real sight because it is really perceived by the eye, and it is known as paramattha the true form. But there are also other sites that are not like paramattha, and they can be considered as concepts of pinyada. What are they? Sometimes yogi will try to think and see in their mind some stuff. Especially sometimes when you are dreaming, you also see some stuff. These sights are not seen by the eye, the naked eye. And there are certain special circumstances where the yogis, when they practice vipassana meditation, will get enough concentration and then they start seeing sights and sounds. Some said that they see mountains and forests. Some even see they see deities and so on. This is what they appeared in their mind when they are practicing vipassana meditation. And Lord Buddha says that these kind of sights are not the real sights that are seen by the eye, and they are not paramattha truth, but they are pinyada concepts. And among the even the sights, there are some stuff that you have not seen in this life, and there are some sights that you might not have even seen in the previous lives. So here there is a digression. Why do we, Lord Buddha says about in the previous lives? Because there are some people who are endowed with a certain kind of knowledge called Sadidra Jnana, being able to see previous births. And in one particular example, Siaron mentioned about Pati Puzika. This is a lady who used to be a deva in Savarinda. And then at that time, there were like 1,000 female devas, and 500 of them were sort of climbing up the tree picking flowers. And she was among one of these, and then all of a sudden, then the end of her life came, and then from she disappeared immediately from that deva and then got reborn in this human world. But she was endowed with this Sadidra Jnana. So although she was reborn as a human being, she still remembered her previous existence in this Tavasimta. And especially she remembered her previous husband known as Malabari, a deva. And she could not get him out of her memory. Although she worshipped the triple gems and she practiced dana, charity, sila, morality, according to the custom, she got married at the age of 16. And it is said that she gave birth to 4 children. Even then, she could not get out of her mind this deva in her previous existence. And so whenever she performs good deeds such as charity or sila, she would do services at the monastery, she would offer food, and she would even brush room, make things clear, and so on. Essentially, she would always practice viyavasa, meaning service. But after that, she would always pray that may she be reborn and get reunited with her previous husband in the deva. So she kept on doing this, and she offered food to the sanghas and Buddha. And one day, after offering the monks in the morning, in the evening, she died unexpectedly, previously, for some unknown disease. But because of her attachment and because of her consistent prayers and wishes that she should be reunited with her previous husband, she was reborn in that realm again. And so Sarah wanted to explain that the lifespan of the two planes are different. It is said in the literature that about 100 years lifespan is equivalent to one night and one day in that realm. So after even she died, when she was reborn, it was as if the other devas were still plucking the flowers. So the husband, who is a deva, said, "Where have you been this time?" So she explained that she had been reborn in the human life, and then now she got reborn again in this deva plane. And because of the time difference, it seems just like a moment there. So the deva was excited to see her back, but then he says, "So if that lifespan of 100 years is short, do all the people over there do meritorious deeds?" Then this lady, female deva, explained that even though the lifespan is short, a lot of people just pretend and maybe do not know that their lifespan is short. They just live their life, carefree life, and they forget about doing stuff and so on. So at that moment, the deva had a sense of urgency, known in Pali as Samyaga, saying that the human life is short, but then a lot of people do not care about this, so it is important that we should practice meritorious deeds as much as possible. So at that time, the Lord Buddha was given a sermon, and someone asked where that lady who had offered swan to the Buddha and the things and had passed away. So Lord Buddha says that she has been reborn in this deva realm. And then he gave a sermon of that. And while listening to this sermon, a lot of people in the audience got enlightened. Some got to the first stage, some got to the second stage, and so on. So it is said that Lord Buddha's sermons are very important and beneficial to those who listen and understand and get Samyaga sense of urgency. That even a verse, if you listen to it carefully, can give you benefits. So essentially, back to the whole story, when Lord Buddha says that there are two kinds of people or two kinds of sights, a lot of people do not know and cannot know about the previous births, but some people can still know about the previous births. It is important not to cling to these senses. Because if you cling to these senses, it is like Sierra says, it is similar to a log that is stuck on one side of the shore or bank. So Lord Buddha asked Maluja Bodha monk the following question. There are several kinds of sights, as he has explained. Those are real sights that can be seen by the eye. But there are a lot of things that you have not seen in the past, you have not seen now. Is it possible that someone gets attached on the sights that one has not seen previously or now? By that, Sierra explains that by sight, it means it could be a person, a male or a female. There are a lot of people in the other city, the other town, other countries that may be beautiful, but you have not seen them. Even in this place, even where you live, there are a lot of people that you have not seen. So Lord Buddha was asked, it is likely that there are more people and more sights that one cannot see rather than the sights that one has seen. So the question was, is it possible for someone to get attached to things that they have not seen? So to that question, Maluja Bodha monk says that if one has not seen sights in the past and in the present, then it is not possible for one to get attached to that person, man or woman, that one has not seen. And Seara also says that that is the correct answer, the true answer, because if one has not seen stuff, then a man is not likely to get attached to a man that she has not seen before. And likewise for the man and the woman. But if one has seen someone in the past, or just at this moment, and if it's a lovely sight, then it is more likely to get attached. You can attach even at that moment when one sees it, and then you can be continuing to attach by dreaming or thinking about it in the mind. So the attachment only appears for somebody or someone that you have seen. So most people are aware of how one can get attached to the sights that one sees. But what about the case where one gets attached in one's imagination? In accordance to that, Seara wants to talk about a story called Anita Ganda Kumara that appears in Dhammapada commentary. So who is that Anita Ganda Kumara? In Lord Buddha's time, in Sarvati,
Anita Ganda Kumara
used to be from the Brahma plains, and when he died from that plane, he was reborn in this human world near Sarvati city. So as you know, because he was previously from the Brahma plains, he did not have any interest on women. So for a long time, even when he was a child, he would not approach even near any woman. Even if the mothers and other women tried to touch him, then it is said that he cried. And when he became older, then their parents says that he should get married. But then he refused, saying that he does not want to get married. But the parents would relentlessly try to urge him to marry. So he asked a goldsmith to make a statue made of gold that is really beautiful. In his mind, he says that, and he told his parents that if they can find a woman that is at least pretty or prettier than that golden statue, then he will get married. He thought that it was impossible to find one. But the parents were wealthy people, so they gave the advice of Bonas. They are known to be the people who do all these celebrations and all the stuff, and they are supposed to be wise men. And they asked them to find a suitable girl that is prettier than this golden statue. So they went different ways and looked at things until they finally reached the division called Manda, where in Tagala town, where they saw a 16-year-old girl. And they went to the house and told their parents that they wanted to see her. So that woman came down from their 7-story house. And then when they tried to compare with the golden statue, they decided that the woman's beauty is much more than the golden statue. So all these sage men says that this is the right woman for go back. And so they asked that she should get married to this Anita Ganda person. And then afterwards, they went back and told that they have found a suitable lady, a suitable wife for the person. So the parent says that, okay, go back quickly and then bring her back. When Anita Ganda heard that this lady was much more beautiful than the golden statue, then in his mind, he envisioned her, and he had a sense of love for her, and says that, may you quickly bring her back. He had not seen her, but he can envision in his mind. That is what happens to when somebody imagines and have a good imagination. And simply by in your imagination, one can get affectionate and touch and attached. So these sage people went to bring her back, and then they took her back on some vehicle. In the literature, it's not said what that vehicle is, but Searle thought that it is likely to be something like driven by horses and so on. And since that woman was very gentle, but the distance was very far, the journey was unbearable. And before he reached and somewhere along the line, then she passed away. So when Aneti Ganakumara heard the news about the death of his beloved one or bride-to-be, then he became very sad, and he was overcome with sorrow and lamentation. He could not sleep, he could not eat. So when Lord Buddha knew by his power that thing was happening, he had great compassion for this young boy, and so he went to his house and had food. And when the parents asked him to give food, then Lord Buddha gave a sermon. He asked the boy, the younger youth, what happened. So the youth gracefully sat in front of Lord Buddha and said that the bride-to-be had passed away and so because of her, he became very agitated, very sorrowful, and there was lamentation, and then he could not eat, sleep, and he had a lot of worry. The Lord Buddha says that this is because of the karma, and gave a one-verse sermon on it. So Searle wants you to know that there are two kinds of karma. One is called vatu karma, means the thing and object that one desires. And the other one is called kilesa karma, the greed attachment caused by attachment on that thing. So there's a thing or object that we want, and there's the associated grief. What Lord Buddha says that if one has these two karmas on the object and the attachment on that object, then it is quite likely that one would get sorrow, one would worry, and one would have sorrow and lamentation. So just to give an example, suppose you have a brand new expensive dress, clothes. Then you cannot sit in any place because you say that this might get dirty and so on. So there is something worry associated with that expensive dress. But if you have a casual dress, then you can go anywhere and sit anywhere without any worry. So that is a simple example where attachment to even an object can cause worry. You can also think about your house or your car for expensive. Then you say, will somebody try to damage my car? Somebody will try to steal something from my car, and so on. So there are a lot of worries associated with these expensive objects and being attached to them. So Lord Buddha says that if one has attachment, then one worry. What about the opposite? If one does not have any attachment on an object, or even if there's an object, there is no attachment, then there is no associated worry. There is no sorrow or lamentation. So herein that the youth understood and became Sotapanna, which in Pali means the first stage of sainthood. It is also known as a stream winner. And you yogis will probably know that once you reach that Sotapanna first stage, then one will not be reborn in the woeful states. One can still be reborn in the higher planes, in the human and the deva planes, but then eventually one will get liberated. So it is important that you and yogis, when you are practicing vipassana meditation, when you see something, just look at the associated sight. Do not get attached to that sight, because then you are trying to prevent the two karmas from happening, the vutu karma, the object, and the kilesa karma, attachment to it. And then even if it happens momentarily, then if you note it, then it will disappear at least for that moment. And if you practice further, ultimately you can gain one of the stages of sainthood, guaranteeing that you will never be reborn in the woeful states. That is why it is important that you note things as they truly are. Searo says that starting from tomorrow, the yogis will take 8 precepts before listening to the Dhamma talk. This is to get the practice and also to make sure that you have also practiced morality before listening to the Dhamma talk. You have now listened to the Dhamma talk, and so you have accumulated Dhamma Tavana, Kusala, wholesome deeds. You have also practiced Sila, morality, Samadhi, wisdom, and Panya, knowledge, and you have practiced Vipassana meditation throughout the day, and will continue to do so, and may you get what you cherish most, that is path, fruition, and liberation. And with that, we end today's Dhamma talk.